And good Thursday morning. Here we are, Thursday, March 28th, 2019, last Thursday in the month of March, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to a live program here on WWGH Radio, Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and Scott Spears, myself. Now heard every Thursday morning, 9, 10 to 10 a.m., but we repeat Friday morning, 10:10 to 11 a.m., Sunday, 9:10 to 10 a.m., and on Tuesday evenings, 6:10 to 7 p.m. after the pastor's other show, The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, every Tuesday live, 5:10 to 6 p.m., repeats Wednesday, 3:10 to 4, and Sunday morning, 8:10 to 9. Good morning, Pastor. Here we are for another Thursday.
Good morning, Scott. Yes, it is another Thursday, and Friday's sneaking up, and boy, at the church at Community Christian Fellowship, we've got our annual meeting Sunday, so I've been kind of trying to put some things together and plan for that, and you know, there's always something you're going to miss.
Oh.
But it's nice to have those things every year. It kind of keeps your focus and your direction, and I think that's something that we can really talk about is focus and direction, and sometimes I'd like to take us back to maybe 1950, because in 1960, we were starting to get caught up in a lot of the news cycle again with the Vietnam conflict, as it were called, we see spring coming now. I honestly believe we can start to feel spring coming on. This has been, I was talking to someone last night, this has been a tiring winter.
I think it took a lot out of people. I think the temperatures got low. I think pneumonia went around a lot with people. It was hard for people to get over things. It was darker than normal, which causes a lot of downtrodden and sadness.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Yeah. And you couldn't even turn on the news and get away from the darkness, could you?
No, we need
more positive things out there. No. And I'm not even going there this morning. But one thing I was thinking about this morning, Scott, was, you know, what kind of things can we do to better our situation, to feel better about ourselves? And I've got some ideas, but I'm going to toss it back to you, Scott.
Well, I think there are a lot of things we can do as people to feel better about ourselves. I think we are innately wired as human beings, and it's the wrong way, to point out the bad and not point out the good. And what I think people don't understand is when you're always harboring the bad, when you're always having the conversation about the thing that doesn't work, it brings you a certain angst. Just think about it in your own life. Let's say your car has a problem or your television's broken. You don't like that. It's a problem.
Right.
Now you've got to get it fixed.
Right.
So it gives you angst. It's something you have to talk about. It's something you have to deal with. Now when the television works and the car works, hey, it's a great morning. I'm driving to work. The television's fine. I can watch whatever program I want to watch. There's no angst in the good. But that's not what people focus in on. And even though a lot of times it's not necessarily about them, it's about other people. And it does. I think a lot of time it's jealousy, the reason people are bringing it up. I think a lot of times it's I want to rub it in that person's face. And those are not good motivators.
Well, I'll tell you, we are hardwired when we're born to desire happiness, okay? We really are. We were made that way. We desire happiness. And, you know, from a Christian standpoint, I can find happiness in God and what his promises and living for him. But if we don't have that, we're going to look for anything else to make us happy. And when something doesn't, we look somewhere else. Well, the problem is, when we start running out of things to make us happy, it gets very depressing. And then the opposite of happiness is what? Sadness. So now you can't find enough to be happy, so you're really going to start looking for things to justify your anger. And so people do start looking at bad. But you know, there's some things, and you can take notes this morning, folks, if you'd like to, because I want to give you some ideas. One is, Scott, you just mentioned the car breaking and the TV not working. Get out your notepad or something you can refer to, and write down, if my car breaks, this will be my options, and this is what I can do until I can get the car fixed. If the TV goes out, here are some other options or a way to make. And see, here's the thing. What happens is we're blindsided by these things. And then what am I going to do? Oh, no. If you have a backup plan, it's just like, and I know most of you, it's so hard to do this. Ramsey that does the financial seminars and stuff with people, and one thing that he'll teach is that you always have to have a certain amount of backup money put away for a sudden bump in the road. Well, some people listening this morning are saying, backup money? Yeah. I don't even have enough money to get through the month. And maybe you don't have backup money, but one thing you can have is a backup plan. If this happens, A, B, or C, if something happens, I suddenly can't be in my home, have I talked to a certain person ahead of time that I can go there in an emergency? Do I have someone that has said they will give me a ride to work if my car breaks down instead of worrying about it the last minute? What am I going to do as an alternative to entertainment if I can't do this, A, B, or C? And it's important that we do these things. And then some other things that we can do to kind of build up our feelings about life and things in general. Springtime's coming. And maybe you live in a rental property and you can't really go out and plant bushes and shrubs and do all that. But you know, one thing you can do, and even if you don't have a yard, you can plant some things in pots. You can have a tomato trellis out of a pot. You can have lettuce grows so fast, like overnight. Lettuce, you can grow radishes. You can do all these things. And you know what a feeling of satisfaction to go out and cut those first few pieces of lettuce and cut up those first radishes and eat your salad that you did. Now, you might say, you know, come on, Pastor, you're just... No. I mean, really, these are the kind of things that excuse me, help us feel better about ourselves. And there's a lot of other things we can do, too.
Well, it's interesting because two things I think about whenever there's maybe something that is unhappy or not right with my life, I go out and take a walk, get my thoughts together, go out and realize the world's not going to end, that people have it a lot worse than I do, that this is just a problem. And then I say to myself, I really think this is my motto deep down, is this too shall pass. If you really think about it, think about the most horrible thing that could happen to you in life besides death, which, you know, you can't overcome that. But hopefully you'll be in a better place, so that's not something you need to worry about. But think of the most horrible things that can happen to people. You know, illness, diagnoses of things. Who knows? I think about the IRS audits this year. Things people are really petrified of. Okay, they're going to have a resolution, and you'll get that resolution, and then you'll work through the resolution, and then you'll be okay. It's not the end. Everybody thinks everything's the end. Nothing is the end.
Even if you think about, jail.
Jail.
But what if you did go to jail? I mean, and believe me, I don't want to go to jail.
No,
but I've seen where people have gone to jail, and for whatever thing they did, they cannot get out. They're not going to get out. But they turn into being unbelievable authors.
Yes.
They do neat things. They do charities from jail. And they do so many things to give back that they could have done outside. And guess what? They don't have to worry about paying the bills when they're in jail.
You know what? That's the thing. With every bad thing, some good things do come along with it. You no longer have to worry about your meals. You no longer have to worry about where you're going to sleep that night if you're having financial trouble. You no longer have to worry about if you have some high-pressure job. Well, it's not there anymore.
Medical care,
you're fine there. And it's I might actually start an exercise routine that you get involved with.
You know, a friend of mine, he has a friend of his. They've known each other, grew up together. And this guy had a little bit of a drinking and driving problem. And not my friend, but his friend did. And he had a tendency to not worry about it so much in the summertime because he said, if I get caught, I get to go to the air conditioning.
Yeah.
So that was his positive thought on going to jail for OMVI. I get to go to the air conditioning.
Well, that's the thing, and that is one of the big worries of people in life is that they'll end up in prison for something. But, unless you murder somebody, even that will pass,
Yeah, I know. And you know, you can always, I remember I went through a really hard difficulty in a business falling apart when I was in my early 30s. And it was like the end of the world. And then I really stopped and I thought, wait a minute. You know, I'm a young man. Some people don't even get their act together until they're my age. And I've already learned an unbelievably hard lesson. You know, let's regroup and start over and build. And we can do that. And I think that we sometimes let despair get us down. But there are simple things that we can do. Set some goals for yourself. We have a beautiful library, and we're soon to have another new wonderful addition to that with a presidential library. We have, if you like that sort of thing, we have museums. I personally love them myself. One of the really, if you're still able to get out and do things locally, the Tallgrass Trail is a hidden treasure in this county. I mean, what a place of getting out to nature. It's like you went on vacation for a brief time. And there's so many things that we can do. Set those things that we want to do every week. I know families that take these little mini vacations all the time, and they're right here locally. You know, they're going to spend a day at this park, or they're going to spend a day at like the Tallgrass Trail, or they're going to visit this place, and they look forward to it and they enjoy it, and it gives them positive experiences. You know, we're going to attend church for the first time. We've talked about it, but never tried it. Let's see if that works out. Parents, you want stuff for your kids to do during the summer? Get them involved in a youth group at church. I know our youth group, we're doing in July, I believe it is. I could be wrong because I'm not the youth leader. But we're doing a camp out at the church, and we're going to encompass the property with snow fence, and we're going to have tents and all the stuff that you would use to camp. And that whole week, we've got showers there and whatnot. It'll be chaperoned. But that whole week, they're going to be out in the community doing community service all week for the whole day, all kinds of things, for the elderly, for people that are in need, for kids. They're going to have all these projects they're doing, and then come back and have a nice time in the evening in the sanctuary in the church doing youth ministry. And then they're going to sleep in their tents, and they're going to cook out on grills. And what a wonderful time. You know how much that costs? Very little. And you know what? You know how you get to your kids to do that? You don't have to pay some huge camp registration fee. All you got to do is come to the church. I mean, I think that a lot of times, Scott, that I've mentioned a few things here, like a little gardening thing and things we can do. Spruce up a room in your house, a room at a time. You know, I can't afford this. This is so drab. Make it undrab. Go to the resource store. They got paint really inexpensive. You know, one trick that I always did raising a family was I would go into Menards they didn't have Menards when I was raising. But anyway, I'd go to a place like that, a paint store, and I'd say, do you have any mismatches? And, you know, you can get them $3-4 a gallon, and you go over. The Restore store is great for that. You go over and you look and find something that'll match and it'll work and get your paint. Then maybe you want to look around their brick-brack section. Maybe you can find a nice picture for a couple bucks that will accent that room. There's so many things we can do. If we are willing, you ready for this? If we're willing to take that step.
Well, you know what I think keeps us from taking that step in a certain degree, and I really do think internet plays into this. I'm not saying it wasn't there before, but it certainly is now, is ego. People have tremendous egos, and, you know, I understand there are some, there's a difference between confidence and ego, and I think there's a big thing in this society that we do not differentiate that very well. Because I can look at somebody, I can meet with somebody, I can talk to somebody, and I know immediately if it's ego or confidence. Because confidence is, I can do this, I can get this done, let's get it done. Ego is, I'm better than this. And if you have that attitude, I'm better than this, that's what keeps you from doing those things. Because you say, well, I don't want to be around those people. I don't want to do this. I can't go to that store. I got to buy this type of clothes. I got to have this brand of paint. I got to do this.
Confidence is positively humble, and ego is arrogant.
That's right.
And you can spot it.
Oh, a mile away.
And, you mean, you know, the ego will always tell you how much unbelievable amount of money they spent for something when they redid it. The humbly positive will proudly say, I only spent $10 to do this room. Isn't that great? You can do it too.
Well, it's look at how somebody lives their life. Because one of the greatest experiences I had when I was in college was working in a bank. Because I knew how much money people had in the bank, because when they would come in and make a deposit, it all came up right there. Some of the people who drove the oldest cars, who dressed I don't want to say badly, because I'm not a heavy duty dresser myself, but they were not, the $1,000 blouses and the sports coats and the ties. Those people had 10 times the money who drove the Corvettes, who had the sports coats and the ties and the whole bit. And I used to think, that's the ego is why you're driving that Corvette. The ego, you're showing the world, look who I am.
Look at me.
Those people who really had the money, they didn't care. They knew they had the money. They were living their best life. And they were probably more committed to their job than how they made the money, than worrying about what they drove to work or what they... It's a funny thing, because I think that is it. I think so much is done now for show and not for purpose.
And even in the world of health and athletics, if you look at are we allowed to mention someone that we don't support as far as business? I don't know.
That works.
Okay. Anyway. I joined Planet Fitness a while back, not in Marion, actually in Delaware, and because I'm halfway between the two, and I found myself going that direction a lot in the morning, so let's just go to, that's where I went. And I don't know if you can go to both of them or not, but anyway, they're all the same. $10 a month. $10 a month, folks. And some companies will even pay that. But $10 a month, that works out to 33 and a third cents a day, pretty much, 30 cents a day. And they have a policy in there that I really like, and to put it bluntly, no showboating. No revealing wear that is, going to show all your no comments, no negative comments, no strutting around like a peacock. you don't see mirrors everywhere, hardly anywhere. You can't find a mirror. They promote modest clothing. And they have the best routine there in the world. And for $20 a month, you can even do, they have a meditation room now, or meditation booth you go in. I don't know any much about that, but I know they have it. They've got two different kinds of, massage tables. They've got tanning beds. I'm thinking to myself, here's a place that you can go to really feel good about taking care of yourself. And there's no time limit.
That is so interesting.
Cheap.
This is really prescient of the time, because there was a friend of mine who I only know on Facebook. I haven't talked to I knew him in high school, but I haven't known him. We haven't had a conversation in many, many, many years. But first of the year, I think started going to the gym. Mm-hmm. It's a girl. And she was posting pictures of, her flexing her muscle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the sweatshirt and the so on and the so forth. And it's almost become a regular thing now. Every two or three days, some kind of picture like that will come out. And I always wonder, now, are you doing that? You've got to be doing that for the comments you think. You've just put it in a public forum.
Oh, they do. It's kind of like the duck faces.
yes. And I think,
drives me nuts.
Oh, I don't understand it. So I think about that, and I think, I'm glad you're getting healthier. I'm glad you're getting in shape. But does it really make you feel good? If you didn't have the comments, if you didn't have that justification of people saying, wow, how great, and blah, 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 would it really? Would you keep doing it?
So we just go back, Scott, to what we just talked about, confidence and ego.
That's it.
And in confidence, okay, I'll give you my reason for being there. I want to be healthy and feel better. I still feel I have a lot to offer in life. And I feel God has a lot of ground left to use me on. And I feel that, you know, the Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're to take care of it. Well, when I look at my body in the mirror, and I know what I've beat myself up over the years, honestly, the crazy stuff I've done, I should be crippled. But the truth is that I want to be I want to feel good. And I can't look good. I've never had that option.
but I know what that's all about.
But I want to feel. And what I'm talking about this morning, what we're kind of talking about, is feeling good, doing positive things. And what I was getting at for 30 cents a day, that today in today, $10. Someone say, I don't have $10 a month. Come on, folks, squeeze it, man. I mean, there's something you're doing that you probably could squeeze. If not, you know, someone will give you $10 a day for you to get in shape. But the point is, it's endless, the time. You can go there and spend 6 hours if you want. You can do 5 minutes on everything in there. And nobody's wearing this expensive workout stuff. They're not judging you. You see people of all size, shapes, and everything else. So make yourself feel better and go do something like that and spend an hour a day there if you have it. Moms, if you got someone in the house that's old enough to stay with them, you know, wait till the kids go to bed. And take off. They're open 24 hours. There's a time you could fit in there. But it's just, you know, with the gardening, whether it's in a pot on your porch, there's something about watching something grow that you planted. Would you agree with that, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Plant a green bean. One year I planted 3 green bean seeds in a pot the size of about a 5-gallon bucket. And I put a trellis up and picked beans off of it for almost 2 months. I mean, you know, that's something that encourages us. You know, pick up a book and decide that, you know, I'm going to read so many books. I'm going to read a book a month and page, you know, so many pages a day. Pick up your Bible and begin to read it. It is an amazing book, folks. But there's so many things we can do that don't cost money that will build our character, will build our mood. We don't need to lay back and be depressed and watch. And one thing I think is really important, too, you're saying, Pastor, you're taking away all my entertainment. Turn off that daytime, I'm sorry, folks, but garbage. You know, the talk shows of people fist fighting and claiming whose baby's whose, and that does nothing for you positively to your mind. It's nothing but negativity. And then I'll be honest with you, on the soap opera side of things, you know, it's not a real world those people are in. And it does something to make you feel like you don't have anything, because show me somebody on the soap operas that can't just go out to an expensive restaurant as they walk out the door. Or, you know what I mean? That's not reality, folks. You know, I know people, and it's interesting, that think that people that live in a nicer neighborhood, or people that have a good job, automatically have all this money, can do all these things. And that's simply not true.
Or they think they have no problems.
Oh, yeah. And that's simply not true.
No.
Your problems are in direct comparison to where you are. They stay the same. They're just different problems.
I never knew that happiness had a price tag. I've never known that to be the case.
Didn't somebody do a song back in the 60s, You Can't Buy Me Love?
There you go.
That'd be the Beatles, I think. And there's been a few others out there.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's interesting, because all the things you mentioned there that give satisfaction, like reading and planting and doing things, those are all very ancillary activities. The problem is when you get into the things that you are going to open up to the world. If you go to the gym and decide to post pictures, if you buy certain clothes and decide to post that, if you get a new if you do that, you're looking for good remarks. You're looking for positive affirmation. It's not really that you bought the car. You just want the positive affirmation that you bought the car. But also, it can come with negative. If somebody doesn't like you, they're going to say something negative. And I wish that we could also let that roll off our back. We're very touchy people when it comes to the negative. Let people be negative.
You know, Scott, in the last, and I have some family members that, not my own kids, thank you, kids, but I have extended family members that literally live by the selfie. And I have to tell you, I did something in a rebellious thing that I was hoping my family would see, and maybe kind of in the back doorway get the hint. But the last picture that I posted of myself was I was at a the picture was taken when I was at a Halloween get together, a fall get together, and everybody could dress up if they wanted. And I had on a pair of jeans with the cuffs rolled up widely, dress shoes, white socks, a white dress shirt, red suspenders, and a derby, and kind of the red skeleton look, so to speak. And I took a picture. Someone took a picture of that and shared it with me. And I posted that picture, and just for the simple reason, look, let's just be real with ourselves. You know, if I'm going to post a picture of myself, it's going to be doing something goofy. It's going to be something that, you know, I'm not trying to impress anyone. And we got to stop this stuff. I mean, the ones that drive me the craziest, Scott, are how is the one? If you think I'm beautiful, or these before and after pictures.
How will you look in 50 years?
Yeah, or no, but I mean what personally people do.
Oh, yeah.
This is a picture of me six months ago. This is a picture of mine. Don't you think they're begging for some affirmation. They're begging for some attention.
Clear.
And I think that is what's a good word for that? I don't want to say tacky, but it's so obvious what they're doing.
You know, it's interesting to me. This is a weird segue to make, but have you ever noticed how when somebody's accused of something, a crime, that they always get their mug shot out there? And I always wonder about that, because I don't know anybody who's looked good in a mug shot. Because first of all, you're identifying this as a mug shot. You probably weren't expecting to have your picture taken, and it has a bad connotation that you've been accused of something. I always wonder, why do people put that out? There is no way in the world they can believe that's going to have a positive turnout. They're trying to bury somebody, and I don't quite get that. You can say that somebody's been accused of a crime. I'm okay with that.
Why are we even doing the mugshot?
I don't even know.
I think they're great for the police file.
That's it.
But you know, to release them to the public, and you know, there's somebody that they just drug in. They've been drinking for 36 straight hours, and they posted one. I remember one a while back that was on the news of, bless his heart, Glenn Campbell, who's gone now, but he had had a relapse of alcoholism, and was stopped. And in this picture of him, his hair was straight up in the air.
I remember that.
You remember that picture?
I remember.
Why
that?
Do that?
Well, I don't even know what the mugshot is for, beside the police file. I mean, what really does that have to do with the crime? Can the people who are reporting the crime not find another picture of this person? I think they could.
I don't know. Maybe a lot of times it might be for protection today. They want to give a picture once they had him in custody, so they don't, if they end up with a bunch of bruises and cuts, well, look, this is when we had it.
Right, and I think that's good for a police file.
We do a lot with I feel so bad for these high school kids that are constantly trying to get affirmation through pictures. You know, now you can even, there is an app on there now, and I didn't realize this, there's an app on there that can dress you up. It can get rid of your double chin.
Yes.
It can change your skin tone. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
People do it too.
Oh, I know they do.
People do it.
Because I know people that do it.
So if you see a picture that looks a little too good, wait till you see that person in person.
And you know what's really funny? Sometimes you'll see people and they do all these bizarre things to their appearance to make it because they want to. But then they'll post a picture where they've done all these things without the way they're trying to look today, it's kind of like, whoops, I made a mistake. Here's what I'm supposed to look like.
That's right.
But I don't know. Social media, I'm having a struggle with it right now because I do feel that there's people that I love keeping in contact with. I love keeping in contact with them. I want to know what's going on in their lives, mainly from a pastor, from a prayer perspective. I want to know where they're at. I want to know what they need, what their needs are. And I do an awful, awful lot of that. That's probably one of my biggest uses of scrolling through it and seeing. People say, Pastor, I see you're always on there. Well, it's not always posting. It's looking. And maybe you're on there a little more than you should be. But, you know, lately, Scott, I'll be honest, I have really contemplated going back to a flip phone and just dumping the whole thing and then just using my computer to check on those things because it is a distraction. It can pull you away. You know, when... And I'm doing it less now than I was, but it's real easy. When I leave here, I'll go out in my car, and before I start it up, I'll turn the phone on and see who's messaged me or who's done what. Do I really need to do that? And the other thing is that even, like, I'll read a lot on my phone, and I'll read interesting conversations, things that come up that I find interesting. But then I have to ask myself, too, is there something more positive I could be reading or doing with that time?
Well, it's interesting because I've always seen the internet and social media as communication tools. And I think, dating back to newspapers, the printing press, I think there have always been these arguments in people's mind. I really do. I think when newspapers came, then radio, then television, now internet, I think we've always had these conversations. I think the problem, the way they should be operated is there is nothing wrong with using them to promote a good thing. If you are having a breakfast that is free and open, you might be able to get more people to come to that because you use that.
We do that a lot at the church.
Absolutely.
We just did it with a pancake breakfast.
But if you're using it to get raise your self-esteem, personal affirmation, to say something negative about somebody else, I don't know what you're misusing the media. That's, I think that every media's got that though. The newspapers have the tabloids, the radio had the Walter Winchell, the television had gossip columnists. It's a bad side of the media.
You know, it's interesting, and it's kind of a sad deal. The people that really promote themselves with selfies all the time, and you know, what, like I was talking about, the duck faces. Excuse
Absolutely.
Me. Anyway, talking about, you know, what really happens. I know what happens with me with those people that do that all the time. Unfortunately, folks, it kind of ends up leaving me with a negative feeling about you and not a positive because you get tired of seeing it and you think, wow, what's wrong that this person has to do that? Are they that vain that they've constantly got to do that? And maybe vanity isn't the issue. Maybe it's being insecure, I think, is really the issue. So you got to kind of feel bad for them. But you're not achieving that positive result you think you're getting, even though someone may feel sorry and hit the like button.
Well, it's interesting because I wonder the generation that never lived without it, which is starting to turn 18, 19 years old.
Unbelievable.
Now. Well, what are they going to be like as adults? Is it still going to be the same thing? Is it going to be different?
Oh, sure it is.
But I wonder what it does to them psychologically in the
long
term.
It makes them want more and more and more. I mean, look, well, I mean, we live in a generation today. My pastor made a funny comment. I was listening to some tapes of his from, believe it or not, this is clear back in the early 80s. This has been going on a while. And my pastor's long gone home to be with the Lord years ago, but he was talking about, you know, how older women are to mentor younger women, and that's what they're meant to do. That's what the Bible says to do, to mentor them. He said, you know what the problem is? He says, we don't have any old ladies anymore. He said, I'm looking out amongst you. He said, I just see a bunch of people my age that are trying to dress like they're 16 years old. They forgot how to be older women. And and that's what this is producing. People not being comfortable in their own skin. People not being comfortable with where they are in life. And always trying to seek that attention from the outside of people saying, well, look at you. You know, oh, you look 20. I can't believe you're that age. You know, that kind of stuff. And it's superficial. It goes back to the ego and not the confidence. You talked about it earlier. You know, confidence says, this is who I am. And I know my wife said a few months ago, and women color their hair a lot. And my wife said, maybe a year or two ago, whatever it's been, she said, I am not doing anything with my hair anymore. It's gray, it's staying gray, and that's the way it is. She's confident in who she is. And my word, I've seen people in their 70s and 80s that are just fighting that age thing, and it doesn't even look real.
Well, chances are, if it's somebody in their 80s, they don't have brown or red hair anymore.
No. And they shouldn't. They shouldn't be wearing hot pants.
There are a lot of people, I think, of all ages that shouldn't be in that area.
I know. I know a lady that honestly, I know a lady that was that old that would still dress that way, and it was like, oh my word, man.
You know, there's
we get
no,
that from Hollywood.
There's no modesty.
There is.
There's
no
modesty.
Oh, no, there's no modesty.
And with summer coming, you see the modesty of people when they walk around.
How about the selfies where they lean over to let you see part of their cleavage? That's the one that blows me away, too.
Well, like, that's purposeful.
What are you doing?
It's some kind of dating thing, I think. It must be.
Well, I hope not, because there's a lot of married women doing it.
That doesn't stop them.
Okay.
No.
But, you know, honestly, though, this is kind of this conversation is really a dose of reality. You know, we need to be comfortable in who we are. Stop seeking false things that aren't going to make us happy.
Well, you know, it's one of the oldest phrases in the book, but I'll tell you, I heard it again this week, and I hadn't heard it in a while, and I thought, boy, that's right. If you are not happy internally with yourself, there is nothing, nobody who can make you happy. Nothing.
No.
You really do have to be comfortable with who you are. You've got to be okay with it, and you've got to be able to derive your happiness in some way to yourself. And if you don't, if you're ever dependent on somebody else or something for happiness, if they go or it goes, boy, you're in a world of hurt.
Kind of interesting you brought that up, me being a pastor. Because I believe that thing that never changes, that you can have that confidence and base your happiness, is in God. And He doesn't go anywhere. And in that relationship, I think you can be happy. And I think that a lot of times the reason young people, like I said earlier in the show, we are hardwired for happiness when we're born and finding happiness. And if young people growing up in the church don't see their parents as being happy in their faith, when they get out of school, they're going to go find that happiness elsewhere. And too many times I see people in the church that are going through the motions, but they're not really understanding who they're supposed to be, and they're not living what they say they believe, because I'm hard-pressed to find happiness. Now, with many of them, I do find that happiness and see them. And what a joy that is. I've got a lady coming to the church that is so crippled with arthritis that she can't hold a fork, she can't hold a spoon, she can't. She has to have someone hold her when she shuffles. I mean, that's hurt, that's pain. But she trusts God, and she's a lovely lady, and she makes positive phone calls to invalids and people in need all the time. If you are sick or have a problem, you're going to get a phone call from this lady. She can still press buttons. Not on a cell phone because she can't even hold it, but you know, she has confidence in who she is, and you know, people just need more of that, don't they?
Well, you know, I heard a statistic not too long ago that children laugh. I think define children under the age of 13. I think children laugh something like four times as much as adults do. Now, that reminds me that...
Because they don't have kids yet.
Well, it could be. But, you know, it's interesting that you are hardwired to be happy when you come out of the womb and you have this early childhood, and you seem to be a more jovial person. You're more carefree in a way. But something happens when you're an adult. You become more cynical.
It's responsibility.
And, yeah. But I think cynicism is not necessary. I think it's sarcasm and cynicism get confused too much. Sarcasm is sometimes just a way to get a laugh.
It's lighthearted.
It's lighthearted. Cynicism is everything's bad. Even the good things, there's a bad intention behind it.
Oh my word! I've got one of those friends, and my word, I'm telling you, you could hand him a rose, and he'd say, you know, oh, look at that blight on the stem. You know, and it's just...
That's a problem.
Oh, it is a problem.
Cynicism is a trait. You can tell it when it develops in somebody. What's really behind that? And you look at these people, they're miserable.
I think it's years of disappointment and unachieved expectations has a lot to do with it. But I think that our expectations aren't always real. I'll tell you, I've developed a love for watching car racing again that I used to do when I was younger, but never in a million years am I going to think that I'm going to be able to be in one of those cars and drive it and own it, but I can still enjoy it. And the problem is that in our society today, everyone thinks they got to have what everyone else does, or it's just not fair.
You know,
and that's not true.
Well, somebody called me the other day. And I found this to be the most cynical call, because it was about another person who I don't know the other person very well. I've met him a couple times. But the whole call was about they were supposed to do something and they weren't doing it. And there had to be something behind that in this person's mind. There has to be, and I think this person even said that in the phone call. There's something behind this. There's got to be something more behind this. Now, did they know that? No.
Because did you tell them to get a life?
Well, I said, I don't know that there is something behind it. I don't even know what really you're talking about here, but it was a completely cynical outlook. And you know what? Here's the thing about that. I think that all had to do more with the person who had the cynical outlook, because I think in their mind, they have a bad opinion of themselves. They think this person is slighting me for some reason. I'll tell you something funny that I've seen a lot of, and maybe from it's just being involved in education a lot. When somebody has a learning disability when they're younger, and I'm not saying this is 100% of the time, that's a tough thing to go through when you are a young kid. It's very difficult.
Absolutely.
You get made fun
ADD
of.
ADD can be confused for a lot of things.
It's awful. But when you become an adult, that's where you hit the crossroads, and some people overcome it and can be happy and smile and go through the rest of their life. But I've noticed it affects other people in another way.
I would agree 100%.
They always feel like people are looking down on them, even when they're not, because they've been looked down on so much that this person, whoever they're talking to in life, has to be looking down on them. It's ingrained.
And that's why we're running out of time real rapidly here. But that's why I would like to say this, that it is so important for school teachers and people in position over these children to build them up and not tear them down. You know, Satch had a great point on a show one day when he was talking about, you know, school teachers talking negatively about a child in the teacher's lounge, and how a teacher that may even like a student will be, their mind will be changed. And now this student has another teacher that's looking down on him. And, you know, especially when you get my son had ADD pretty bad in school, and it was before they really diagnosed a lot, and the diagnosis was missed for a long time, and he was just labeled a goof off, and he was treated that way, and he was treated very poorly, and once that was realized, he did great in school and whatnot, but the point is, the effects of what that, he was always, you know, the class this and the class that, and yes, he was, but it was a result of a lot of that treatment, and we got to be careful how we treat people.
You do, and it can leave a lasting mark on them that they never get over. They never get over, and that's a very sad thing. Do want to remind people in our last 50 seconds here, this show will repeat on Sunday morning, 9:10 to 10 a.m., and on Tuesday, 6:10 to 7 p.m., the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Terry Tackett co-hosts that with the pastor. That's live every Tuesday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., repeats Wednesday, 3:10 to 4, and on Sunday morning, 8:10 until 9 p.m., so don't miss any of those programs. And also, it's streaming live on the internet, www.gh1071.com. With 20 seconds, Pastor, let them know where they can come to church.
We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our services are at 10:30. I'll fill you in with the rest when you get there. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. Call me if I'm not there. Leave me a message. God bless you.
Charlie Evers with James Anderson, Tallgrass Trail, coming up in about 15 minutes.
PH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The place for all the big events. For Scott's